What if you were born with a disease that you always knew would kill you? And then what if all of a sudden you were given a second chance? Well, that's exactly what happened to me. And it's the question that we explore on the new podcast series, Breathless, from Snack Labs. Join me, Jeremy Saunders, for a series that explores what it means to live and die, to love and to lose, and what it's like to have your whole life turned upside down and the unexpected challenges that come with a life-saving drug. You can listen to Breathless now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my loves. This week's guest is Miss McKenzie. Miss McKenzie is an international BDSM and sexuality educator, professional dominatrix, certified erotic hypnotist, a trauma-informed relationship coach, and lifestyle and adult industry mentor. We spoke with Miss McKenzie about how she honed her skills and came to lead workshops and one-on-one trainings on literally hundreds of topics for over 2 decades now. And if you're somewhere between Philadelphia and Baltimore, perhaps you'll want to check out her dungeon, Elysium, a hideaway for all your hedonistic fantasies. You can find more information on Miss McKenzie's offerings at missmckenzie.com. That's missmckenzie.com. We'll see you on the other side.
Well, this is going to be a fascinating conversation, I am sure. We are joined by Miss McKenzie, who is many things, a BDSM and sexuality educator, a professional dominatrix, a certified erotic hypnotist, very interested in that, a trauma-informed relationship coach, lifestyle and adult industry mentor. There's a lot here that I think that we can unpack. First of all, McKenzie, hello. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so thankful to be here.
Yeah. Let us know, you know, I sort of listed, all the things that you do, but, introduce yourself to our listeners. Who is McKenzie? Where are you joining us from? And how's life? How's life being all of those things in one?
Busy. I'm very thankfully busy.
I bet.
I'm tuning in from Delaware. My dungeon Elysium is in Delaware, and it's kind of cool because it's a central hub to a bunch of different places. It's close to Baltimore, close to DC, close to Philly, all of the above. So it's really nice to sort of be center and allow, you know, clients and couples and everything to come see me here. You pretty much said what I am.
I mean, Wait, is there anything that I didn't say that you also happen to be?
I run a podcast. That's the only thing you didn't say.
There we go. What's the podcast?
My podcast is Kink, Intimacy, and Cannabis Lounge.
Ooh.
So talk about how all of them can mix together or not. So
I have so many questions about that.
Yeah. Well, I have an interesting thing to kind of like add to this. I mean, I have a bad habit of talking about myself. Horrible host. But cannabis is something that, so I live with a disease called cystic fibrosis, which is like a chronic, fatal lung disease. And, so cannabis, although I took part in a lot, I was smoking a lot of weed in high school, a very bad idea. Like, I do not recommend anyone with CF to be smoking anything. But I did it because, I didn't give a fuck. I was a dumb, silly kid just trying to rebel. In retrospect, probably should have done that differently with different substances, but
cocaine,
to which
maybe.
I do today and not coke.
You live and you learn.
That's right. That's right. But I ended up, you know, I think just through the use of edibles and stuff like that, back in the day before cannabis was legal up here in Canada. And I had some bad experiences with edibles, primarily because of this woman right here. Who
I fucked up one time. I made some bad brownies.
Fuck,
and
did you ever?
We spun out.
Did you just put too much in?
Oh, I put too much in. It was fucking weird. We were both living in alternate universes for a bit.
It was a nightmare.
It hung out. We forgot how to read. Everybody in the room forgot how to read.
It was so bad. It greened up fully, right? Okay. So all that to say that THC wasn't really my bag for years. And then I started dating my current partner, not too long ago. And through our relationship, I started to kind of develop a new relationship to THC through the use of like gummies and like weed water and stuff. And I actually really love it now, like so much so that, you know, it's kind of become like a semi-regular, nightly, weekly kind of thing where it's like, okay, I pop like 10 milligram gummy. Watch a movie, whatever. Now, here's where I'm going with this. I know that a lot of people really love fucking on THC, really love sex on with THC running through their system. I can't seem to get on board with it. And I haven't really tried yet in this exploration of doing the gummies. But there will be nights where like I popped like 10 milligrams and we crawl into bed and I get in my head and I'm like, no, you're not going to like sex right now. It's like, I don't know if it's for you right now. You're too high for this. And so I'm a little bit scared to like actually try having sex on THC because there's some sort of block there. So I guess all that to say, do you have any advice for someone who would like to engage in sex
Let's
on THC?
Let's start off with helping Jeremy out with his problem.
help me bone.
I got you. Don't worry. So there's a bunch of different things that you can do that isn't necessarily to get you high. So there's topicals that you can use on your genitals that actually make you feel more pleasure. Ooh. So they're called arousal oils. And they have THC ones and CBD ones, and you can put them on regardless of your genitals. It doesn't matter. And they bring more blood flow there. They bring more, oxygen in that area, and they make your libido higher. Cool. So, and it relaxes you. So specifically for people, not talking about you, but like specifically for people who might have had like sex trauma or something like that.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really good for, because it relaxes that space and helps with pain.
Right. Yeah.
So there's like so many wonderful things that can happen with that. Like first, you know, if you're not looking to actually like get high and like want to dabble kind of with that and what that looks like.
Right.
It's amazing. There's a brand called, I don't work for them, but it's a brand called Foria, F-O-R-I-A.
Yes.
And
they are
freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
we've
used their products. Yeah, we had a little like partnership with them not too long ago.
That's awesome.
They are great. I didn't even think about it. I should know this shit. We just spoke to a woman on Sick Boy who has PVD, provoked vestibule dyspnea.
Okay.
Yes.
And actually, THC was like the thing that is like really helping her with the sexual pain that she's been facing for the last, whatever it is, like I guess, 7 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe that's the route.
And then the next thing is tinctures. So doing tinctures. So you can have, they have tinctures that are actually for sexual arousal.
Ooh.
So taking tinctures and trying a couple drops underneath your tongue first, and they are supposed to help get like your libido going and your arousal going and like all those kind of things. I know when I do stuff like that with previous partners that I've had that have had penises, they are just like super hard.
Yeah,
so like rock hard, like ready to go. Like it's almost like they can't help but to be turned on because of it.
All right.
Okay. Cool. That's really interesting because I'm on the different side of the spectrum as you.
Yeah.
I've been like a daily cannabis smoker for more or less the last 20 years. It started around the same time I was sexually active. And I am starting to get to the point where I'm going, is this dampening my libido? Like, is it because I, for sure, when I was younger, it was like, I, you know, all the physical sensations. We're not talking about topicals or, you know, or tinctures. We're talking about smoking. So,
but
there is that, like, but now I'm starting to feel like, is it actually, could it possibly be having a different effect on me now, either because things change over time or
like numbing you?
Yeah, numbing me or just like dampening my libido in general, like kind of making it seem like, well, it's going to take a, it's, you know, I've been with my partner for a little bit longer. So it takes a little bit longer to like get in the headspace of being aroused. So
is it
putting more of a hurdle there because now I'm maybe a little bit more lazy or, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's legal here now. And eventually I think we'll catch up with scientific studies on it because I'm sure things have been being done historically to test it for stuff like this, but, or whatever, but we don't have access to that information. And hopefully that kind of information will become more plentiful. But there's a part of me that's wondering, but there's a part of me that's wondering is like, could it also have an adverse effect?
Mm.
So one of the things that I've done with my submissive is we're really big on like, she's the other host for my podcast. And when we talk about like consuming cannabis and looking for it to be like, to connect intimately, connect kink wise, connect sex wise, any of those things, we've learned to be very intentional about doing it rather than just smoking and then like, okay, see what it happens. Like we put sort of like an intention involved in it. So like, okay, we're smoking with the intent to feel pleasure, to we're smoking this specific strain that we know affects us and makes us more horny. Mm. There are strains specifically for sex and specifically for sensations and specifically made for kink. Maybe not necessarily made for it, but people have found that it helps and makes things much more pleasurable and much more like in tune and in connected and stuff like that. So like we found like a couple different strains that are phenomenal for that. One is called Jilly Bean, J-I-L-L-Y-B-E-A-N. Jilly Bean is one that's like phenomenal.
Hmm.
You basically feel your sensation so much more. So you can say like, okay, I'm doing this with the intent to feel pleasure so much more, or to feel more connected to my partner, or to feel much more intimacy than I felt before.
Mm.
And I feel like with that intention and really focusing on that, I do feel it more when I have sex rather than just smoking and just trying, just enjoying the space.
Mm.
That's an excellent point. And it kind of struck me when you talked about the tincture. It's like, it's a part of the ritual to getting into the mood rather than me just like coming home from school at the end of a long day and like smoking a joint because I want to like switch gears.
Exactly.
That intentional, like this is why I'm doing that seems to be a really nice way to approach that kind of, or any kind of medicine that you're ingesting to be like, this is what I hope to get from it.
It also makes a lot of sense to me considering like, again, as someone who is like kind of a newbie, a novice when it comes to THC, even myself, like noticing the very strong differences between like an indica leaning gummy I take or like a sativa leaning gummy, and starting to realize like how one feel, how I prefer the feel of one to the other, the, how my mindset is during that, that experience. So like it, it does, it makes a lot of sense to me that there's like, you know, specific strains are going to have a different effect. And so, you know, maybe it is like, it's sort of like finding a therapist. You're, maybe you don't find the right one right off the bat. Takes a little bit of shopping, and then you find the one where you're like, oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, we're gonna make some.
And the other thing is like, you're saying like, you know, like I'm like, I don't know if I'm into this after doing this. Like, I think it's more about like taking the pressure off of it and just enjoying the experience.
Yeah, totally. I would love to ask you about your work as a dominatrix. I always find it pretty fascinating to talk to people who are in that line of work. How did you find yourself in the position of deciding, you know what, I'm going to take on this project. I am going to learn the ways, the art of a dominatrix.
So I have a really, really weird story about how I got involved.
Hell yeah.
I was in a nightclub when I lived in South Carolina, and a woman came up to me who owned a dom house and said, you look like you'd be really fun to work for me. And I was like, okay, weird lady. What are you talking about? And she's like, you look really dominant. I was like, what is that? Like, I'm 18. I don't know anything. And I'm like, this weird lady is coming up to me and asking me to work for her. And she was like, here's my card. If you're interested, call me. And I called her, and I went to like my, I went there and sat in on a session while someone else was having it. And she's like, you don't have to do anything during, just watch, see if you enjoy it. See if, you know, this is something you'd want to do. And I joined in and like, just, it was very natural for me and really enjoyed it. And she was like, yeah, I knew you were going to be good here.
That's wow. So
did you ever ask her, like, what did you see from across the club?
I mean, I'm 6 foot, so I'm really tall. I think a lot of people are very intimidated by me, by the way that I look, even though I'm like a mommy, dom, sweet, caring person. I think I look intimidating. So I think part of that was probably it.
Do you think she was scouting that night? Do you think she's like out there?
That's
like,
a possibility.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. That's
I want to be scouted.
I mean, I feel like if you're in that type of position, you're always, your eye is always kind of on the lookout for recruitment. You're always going
probably. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And how long, sure. How long ago was that?
Over 20 years ago.
Okay.
Holy fuck. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you've been doing it for a while.
And yeah, off and on, like I did camming, I did, you know, phone sex type stuff. I've done like all that kind of stuff. But I guess like what I've always gone back to is like in-person stuff. I like the energy of in-person.
Mm.
What's the other thing that I'm kind of curious about is this title of an adult industry mentor. I can, like, even just saying the words, it makes a lot of sense to me that that would be a really valuable thing for someone who's maybe curious about getting into the industry, but like having no fucking clue where to start. So what does that mean? Like, what does that entail? And also, like, what was the origin story to that?
I feel like even when I started, people, like, I don't know if it's because I'm a Leo, but like I've kind of always been a leader and people have always looked at me for advice or whatever, even if it was like sex or relationship stuff, it's always been a thing, even when I was younger. And I think when I started in the business, I just jumped in head first and I went to classes and I made sure that I learned from like the best in the business and stuff like that. And then I feel like I went to school to be a teacher. So it's very natural that like teaching and mentoring is a thing for me. But I feel like it was really needed because there's a lot of cattiness in this industry and a lot of like people who don't want you to succeed or afraid that they're going to lose out on money and whatever. And I'm just not like that. I just want everyone to succeed. I think there's enough money in the sex industry for it to go throughout.
Mm.
And so I want to be able to help people and I want to help people be safe. This is a dangerous industry. So making sure that people are doing things safely, that they understand how to negotiate and understand their boundaries and be able to be successful without having any of the pitfalls that could possibly happen.
Turn Me On Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I didn't see this on your list, but like, say I came to you as a, you know, a pedestrian out there on the street and was like, I really want to get into escorting or something, you know, what would you, it seems like there's different structures of how that works. Like I see, you know, I know women who work with other women. I know women who work with people who have been in the industry, like young women who are working with people who have been in the industry for many, many years, more of as a facilitator rather than like an active participant. And it seems like there's lots of different ways to do it. In terms of like someone just being like, I think I'm into this. What are the things you might say to that person? Or also like, is there any part of your brain that's kind of hanging back, sort of analyzing the situation, being like, they want this experience, but maybe they would be better in a dominance or in a kink like community, right, rather than going out there and like doing the escorting thing. Like what's your process of?
So typically, I guess if someone comes to me and is like, I want to get into the adult industry, I don't know much about it. I don't really know where I fit in, but I think I want this is typically what someone will say. Like, I think I might want to do this kind of thing, but I don't really know. And then like, what does that look like? And then I'll ask questions like, so I guess if someone's like, oh, I'm looking to escort, I'm looking to do full service work and what that looks like, I'll say, you know, like, I mean, so many people in this, like, I'm trying to like word this properly. So many people that like look for that, like can have other niches too. They can be a kinky full sex worker. They can be a dominant full sex worker. They can be a submissive full sex worker. They could be, you know, whatever, and what that looks like, or they could be an escort that doesn't actually provide sex. I have plenty of friends that do that. So it really looks like what your boundaries are and really delving deep on what that looks like. Like if you have other partners, like how are they going to react to this? Cause it isn't just about you. It's about like making sure that your whole life fits around this and isn't uncomfortable. Cause you don't want to take on this job and then like it ruin your life or your responsibilities or any one of those things. So I kind of like would ask those questions and, talk about what it looks like for advertising, for marketing, for branding, all of those things that are really important. Because if you're just a random person, it's very unlikely that someone's going to choose you. You have to have some kind of verification, whether it's, you know, social media, whether it's having your own website, whether it's being on things where you're verified and people are giving you reviews. So there's like a whole giant process to what that looks like to make sure that you look legit.
How do you find is it mentees? Is that the word? How do you find mentees? Like how do these people find you? Or like, you know, are you like that woman that was in the club and, you know, you see someone, you say, hey, you look like you might be able to make some cash.
I don't coach people like that. I feel like I'm okay. I'm good that she did it because, you know, that's cool. Yeah, and I'm in this industry now, but like, I think it's kind of like, I don't want to like offend anybody. Like, sure. Wow, you look real kinky. Like, what do you mean? Yeah, like, you know, what do you mean? I'm not that. Or, you know, those words that people find offensive, you know? So like, I think, I mean, I advertise for it. I think a lot of it is word of mouth. If I get a lot of pro doms because I have a lot of skills as a dominant. I'm a lifestyle dom too. So I have a lot of BDSM and kink skills because I've been doing it for so long. So I'd say the majority of it is either online domination or in-person domination stuff. But I do get like cam girls. I do get full sex workers. I do get people who want to be in the adult industry in all of the realm, whether it's porn star, however, whatever that looks like, I do get them all, but I think it's a lot of it's word of mouth. And people recommending me because now they're successful and making good money and they feel good about their business and things like that.
That's awesome. That's a really cool, it's what a good thing to have a mentor in any realm, but like, let alone something where you can't talk to everybody. You can't talk to everybody about this particular desire.
If yeah, it's something and it's that not you a college do. Course.
No, it isn't. It should be. I mean, doming seems like a lot of fun. Would you say that it's more work than fun, or like, what's the division between work and play for you in that?
I'd say over the years, I have now, like, I guess built, I don't know, a reputation or whatever you want to say that like I can pick and choose what I want to do, which has been really helpful in me enjoying myself as a pro dom, because as a lifestyle dom, you know, I live with my submissive, I have other play partners that are submissive, things like that. Like for me to still enjoy it as a lifetime, like lifestyle, I need to be able to enjoy it like pro too. That isn't where I feel like a kink dispenser, like I want this happening and you to say this and this exactly to be like this and you to wear this or whatever. Like for me, I want someone to be able to like, trust me that I know what I'm doing and I can push their boundaries and they can enjoy themselves in a very safe atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. It just it gave me like a little bit of insight that I haven't heard before. Just that I just wrote down kink dispenser because that's, I imagine that's how you hone your skills to begin with, is like catering to all of these, you know, different demands. And and now you're in a place where it sounds like the majority of it is by choice. Do you need to have any kind of like submissive experiences to balance this out like in your life? Or do you mostly feel?
Part of the reason why I do what I do is I've had some really bad experiences. And so I want to make sure that the people who I teach, whether it's a dominant or a sub, that they are as safe as possible, that they're consent oriented, that they understand what negotiation looks like prior to, you know, the experience that you're going to have, to make sure that people are safe, because I haven't always been safe or people haven't taken care of me to make sure that I'm safe. So I think that's one of my like guiding forces to make sure, you know, when I teach classes, you know, I teach classes almost every single week, even, and it's been more virtually, which has been wonderful. It's a good thing that came out of pandemic.
Yeah.
Has been able to teach virtually and connect with people all over the world. But I think my main focus in my classes is safety and how to make sure people are safe and how to understand what consent looks like and things like that. And it's really been healing for me.
I
bet. That aspect.
Because you kind of take control of like the next generation of.
Exactly. And people who don't know any better, like a lot of it is just like people who do kink, if they're not going to classes or whatever, it's just like what they kind of learn in books or movies or whatever, which isn't necessarily safe or healthy or good. And so being able to teach like, I guess, like newbies or people who are possibly interested in it and giving them better ways to interact and be safe is so, so, so important to me. Mm-hmm. I've known so many specifically submissives that have been consent violated, that have been so many things, because there's predators everywhere, but there's definitely going to be predators in a scene that people are more vulnerable.
Right.
I would love to dive into the subject of erotic hypnotherapy or I guess erotic erotic, is it erotic hypnotherapy? Is that what you'd say? Or like the art of an erotic hypnotist?
All of the above.
Yeah. what does that mean? Erotic hypnotist.
So an erotic hypnotist is just like a regular hypnotist, but which I do regular hypnosis. I do a lot of hypnotherapy. I do a lot of trauma work. People who have trauma in any capacity, are afraid to be naked in front of their partner, afraid to, you know, delve into anything, you know, Catholic guilt, all of those things, you know, with trauma, and phobias and things like that. But I'd say erotic hypnosis is more relating to, sex or sexuality, and helping, specifically my niche is helping couples become closer with erotic hypnosis. So I can give you some examples.
Yeah. Like, how does it work? Like, if I was to come in with my partner to have a session, like what would that look like?
So I'd ask, things about like what they're looking to possibly change or work on. Say somebody says like, okay, my libido is much lower than it was. I would like that to become much more intense, especially when I'm around my partner. And the other partner might say, yeah, my libido is through the roof. And, you know, I'd like my partner's to equal out to mine. And so I talk about what that looks like. They're called triggers. So basically I'd instill a trigger into someone that, like, say the partner could do something to them to make them more horny at a time. So that it kind of connects them together. Or I can say something like, okay, every time you're with your partner, you're going to feel this, or every time you're in the bedroom with your partner, you're going to feel this, and much more intense and much more pleasure, and your libido spikes and your arousal spikes. Like, that's a pretty common one I get. Say somebody's has a really intense kink or fetish that their partner isn't into, I could help the partner be into that kink, which is huge for people who have like really intense feelings or can't get off without thinking or doing this specific thing. Like, that can be huge for couples.
Yeah, I can imagine. I heard an example on another podcast. You were talking to Sunny Megatron about, you know, something as simple, and I say that in quotes, as like a foot fetish. Like, if one person's really into feet and just wants to worship feet, and then the other person's like, I don't want anyone touching my feet. Like, that's like, but maybe I don't want anyone touching my feet, but I wish that I did. Like, yeah. I wish for I could partner. Do that for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
And so, like, is this something like that example there, right? Like the foot thing. Like, is this something that in your experience you've noticed that like it takes, you know, one session, or is it oftentimes multiple sessions focusing on the same thing, and then like eventually through the work of being hypnotized? What is the word I'm looking for? Through the work of hypnosis. Thank you. Through the work of hypnosis, that like it just starts to click after, you know, like it just sort of falls into place after a few sessions, or like what's the like efficiency rate here of like a session?
I'm gonna try not to be too cocky on this.
I'm fucking great. One and done every time.
I've never found someone who doesn't go into hypnosis when I've hypnotized them. I've never found anyone, even the people who are like, I'm so analytical brained and I'm never going to go under. I'm like, they're the quickest to go under, and they're so shocked by it. I'd say it really depends on the person and how deep things are. Like, for instance, like I help people with erectile dysfunction, which is a huge thing. Especially for someone who might be on medication that it affects or something like that. And that's big for most cis men. Their penises are very important. And so being able to do that and like work with that, like I've helped people just on one session and they're like, wow, I'm better now. That was a miracle. And then sometimes if it's maybe like deeper and maybe they're in their brain more about it, it might take a couple times. I don't want to like, I never try and like give someone like, oh, it's going to be this, and like, you're going to be completely fine. It's like any other hypnotist that you go to. If you're going for like sleep, or you're going for a phobia, or you're going to quit smoking or something like that, it may not take the one time. You may be someone who it takes a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that I've never like seen someone on the regular for one thing. It's typically one or a couple times and then they're good to go.
Yeah. Which is great for them. Bad for business, I guess.
You know? Yeah. Like, yeah. Repeat Not, clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. Cause I feel like I get people who refer me like sure, to sure, others. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. There's no end to that business. Honestly, there's always more clientele, but that being said, does the effectiveness of one particular approach wear off over time? Like that trigger worked for like 6 months, or that trigger worked for like a couple of years, but now because our sexuality is also always changing, the things evolving, that turn us on. Yeah. And I would imagine, especially if you've been someone who can't get your kink satisfied or your desire satisfied, and then suddenly you can, because you know your partner's been under hypnosis and now we've got it going. Like, maybe I'm gonna get over that thing that I used to not be able to get enough
of. Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I tend to when I put triggers in, I'll say this gets more intense every time you do it. So like, I do stuff like that, obviously with consent, yeah, like, and what that looks like. But also sometimes if someone, if it fades for somebody or whatever, I might do an audio hypnosis so that, and you know, they'll purchase that so that they can listen to that before bed. Mm. So that can sort of like instill it even more and make it more intense again. Mm. So it really depends. Like, I'd say the amount of times that I've done hypnosis, like people contact me and they're like, oh my God, my sex life is just like so much better. What the heck? Like, you know, stuff that I didn't enjoy, I enjoy now. Oh my God. Or like the shame is gone or the guilt is gone. Like, that's freaking amazing. Mm. Or the pain is gone from the sex I was having.
That's my a God, huge one.
That can change like everything for somebody.
Yeah. When we talked to a doctor.
Cantor?
No, the one who wrote Sex Points.
Oh yeah. Batshava.
Batshava. And she was saying, like, pain, even a little bit of pain, even if you don't think about, like, I know that I've experienced pain during sex, and it's like, she's like, even that little amount of pain can become a massive hurdle, yeah, in your brain to wanting to have, absolutely, sex. Even if it's just like, it's okay in the moment because you're really, mm-hmm, turned on. But like later on, you're thinking like, even in your subconscious, it's like, it's a bit painful. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Has anyone ever come and been like, can you decrease my libido so I can match my partner?
No.
not
I'm sure that that's a thing, but
I'm sure someone out there. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also done like some really interesting things around sexuality. So like, and gender. So like people wanting to know what it feels like to be the opposite gender, which is freaking amazing because, you know, they don't want to go through all the hormones or the surgery or whatever, but they want to know what that feels like, which can really be reaffirming for, you know,
I would
people
imagine
unsure of their gender.
That's really interesting. You'd almost think that would be a little bit more mainstream these days.
I've like, I'm sure other people have done it, but I'm always trying to think of like ways that I can help, mm-hmm, my clients, or like ways that I can add things in that could elevate their experience in some capacity. So stuff like that has been really interesting, or like fantasies that you can't actually get met. So like these, you know, strange out of their fantasies. Like I've made people believe that I was a vampire and I was going to suck all of their blood out. Like they actually believed that. Mm. Like you can't actually have that happen. And
yeah, the best you could do is role play.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Like just weird things like that. Or I've done stuff with my submissive where I made it feel like she was being abducted by aliens and being probed by them. And it was really hot. Like stuff like that is like so cool. Mm-hmm. It's really unlimited what you can do with hypnosis, and like pleasure to pain, pain to pleasure, stuff surrounding like who they are, or, you know, just really, really, really cool stuff you can do with hypnosis that you can't do anywhere else.
How long does a hypnotic state take?
Like to put someone under?
Well, and then the whole process of being of like, I can't remember the word that you use, but like to seed that trigger, or, you know, like how long is a session that you would do with someone?
It depends on how many triggers I'm putting in somebody. So like I typically take, especially if it's the first time with somebody, it takes about a half hour to put someone under. And okay. then like whatever I'm doing, whatever triggers I'm putting in them, whether that's more pleasure, whatever that looks mm-hmm, like. And mm-hmm. then looking into adding some of the triggers in. So it really looks, if I'm adding like five or six, I try not to do more than five or six. The brain has to remember all of that. And there mm-hmm. it gets confusing. So
how does one become an erotic hypnotist?
So there's numerous programs that you can go through to start. So I'm actually a certified hypnotist as well and a hypnotherapist. But then I also did erotic hypnosis because I wanted to, because obviously my field,
it
makes more sense to be involved in that kind of stuff. Not that I don't do hypnotherapy, but I feel like anybody can go to a hypnotherapist. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't necessarily have to be open-minded or into the things that I'm into. Mm-hmm. But with me, it's kind of cool. People can talk about their taboo things and allow that to enhance their life or take it away. Or I've had people who like are like, well, you know, porn's taking over my life. That's all I do. You know, it's really affecting my relationships and I can make it so porn isn't a thing for them anymore, or that's not their main thing. Like that changes lives.
Yeah.
And that's not something that somebody would really go to a regular hypnotist for. They feel probably really embarrassed about.
Totally. Yeah.
And my understanding too is like, hypnotherapy would have different sort of ethics than erotic hypnotherapy, like in terms of how, like what the boundaries are and consent, like how does that work on an ongoing basis with hypnosis?
I mean, that's a great question. So for me, you know, I'm not a therapist. I didn't go to school to be a therapist. And part of me like really wanted to be, I actually was going to go to school for like, and then actually do psychiatry because I'm so fascinated with the human mind and what it can do. But there's a lot of what you said, like ethics and stuff that go along with it, where you want to avoid transference. Mm. And in my business, transference is important. Mm-hmm. So like touch, you know, somatic approaches that touch and what that looks like. Most therapists like can't touch their clients. That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. And so the ethics of that, like I'm really big with like morals and what that looks like to make sure consent is taken even when they're under, because you're playing with somebody's mind. You are literally tinkering with somebody's mind and changing things in their mind. So I need to make sure that the person fully trusts me. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, it can look like numerous things, but I think making sure that now, like I'm in this where I can have transference with people and I can connect with people. And like, I have regulars that like, I love, they're like family, that I've been seeing for many, many, many years.
It's a different type of therapeutic relationship. It seems like, I mean, there's just, we don't quite have the vocabulary for it. I don't think in our culture or society to say like therapy can look a little bit different than just like sitting across from someone and talking in a chair, or even like some of the somatic stuff, which is like really based around movement. It's like maybe that realm of psychology or psychiatry is like has ethics against like touching and transference. But like you said, in your world, in your field, like that's a part of the transaction that a lot of people are looking for healing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need that.
Yeah. It's a requirement. And and it's funny that it's I've never really thought about how that's like, I've thought about how that's stigmatized, but I've never really thought about how it has its legitimate spot alongside other types of therapy. Like we can't just medicalize situations and be totally like, this is your kind of thing that you have to sort of figure out on your own with my assistance. This is like
very clinical.
Yeah. And this is like a different kind of hands-on, like, you know, manual approach to therapy. I love that.
Yeah. And I think part of it is like most of the time people just want to make sure that they're normalized and not judged. Mm-hmm. And going to someone who's, I guess, quote unquote, vanilla minded or not in this same sort of industry or who has had the experience with a lot of this, like I'm like, there isn't many things you can tell me that would shock me. I've seen a lot. And I think that's beneficial for some people, especially when they're embarrassed or shameful of stuff that they want to come forward about.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
This has been really, really fascinating. Ms. McKenzie, how can people stay up to date with you, the work that you do? How can people find the Kink, Intimacy, and Cannabis Lounge podcast? Let the folks know how they can stay up to date with what you're up to.
The best way is I have a direct me. It's direct.me/Miss McKenzie. And the reason why I say that and not my website is because it has everything on there. Ooh. Like it shows like my classes that I have coming up, which I have a couple really freaking cool classes coming up that I just invented. So I'm pretty excited about them. And it has my podcast on there. I make kink and BDSM and safety toys. So like it has that on there. Ooh. It has my Patreon for teaching stuff, my OnlyFans, all that kind of stuff. All the goodies, places.
All the goods, yeah. Well, Ms. McKenzie, this has been a real treat. It was so nice to meet you. Thank you for giving us a little bit of insight into your very fascinating world. We're looking forward to kind of keeping up with the work that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on. You guys are wonderful.
All right, there we have it, folks. Hope you enjoyed that conversation that we just had. And thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the podcast further, you can do that by leaving a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can simply rate the podcast on the Spotify mobile app. And if you want to support the podcast even further than that, which you can.
Wow.
You can
You're
go to
so kind and thoughtful and so generous.
So thoughtful. So generous. Go to patreon.com/turnmeon to become a patron and help us keep this podcast afloat.
Well, if you want to reach out to us, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com is always open for all of your messages. That's the best way to get in touch. If you have a question for us, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you have a recommendation for a guest on the show, or if you just want to send us a little love note, email, money transfer, all of that.
Sex toy.
You know, we're our email inbox is open to you.
That is it for this week. Until next week.
Why don't you go touch yourself?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.